The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Ramses Ja. And sometimes the amount of stories that make their way to us means that we simply can't cover everything that comes our way. But from time to time, a story just stays with me, and I feel compelled to share it with you and give you my thoughts. And now, one more thing. Okay, so more news in the development of our country, politics, and who can do what and who can get away with what. And we weren't able to fit this into any of the news recaps just because of the timing of it all. So felt like we would take a moment and cover this and then give our reaction to it. Joining me is Q Ward of Civic Cypher and, of course, of the Black Information Network here to discuss an article that was sent to us from MSN.com, and I'll share it before we break it down.
So, please.
The Supreme Court on Monday handed a sweeping win to former President Donald Trump by ruling states cannot kick him off the ballot over his actions leading up to the January 6th attack on the Capitol, bringing a swift end to the case with huge implications for the 2024 election. The court, in an unsigned ruling with no dissents, reversed the Colorado Supreme Court, which determined that Trump could not serve again as president under Section 3 of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. The provision prohibits those who previously held government positions but later, quote, engaged in insurrection, unquote, from running for various offices. The court said the Colorado Supreme Court had wrongly assumed that states can determine whether a presidential candidate or other candidate for federal office is ineligible. The ruling makes it clear that Congress, not states, has to set the rules on how the 14th Amendment provision can be enforced against federal office seekers. As such, the decision applies to all states, not just Colorado. States retain the power to bar people running for state office from appearing on the ballot under Section 3. Quote, because the Constitution makes Congress, rather than the states, responsible for enforcing Section 3 against all federal office holders and candidates, we reverse, the ruling said. By deciding the case on that legal question, the courts avoided any analysis or determination of whether Trump's actions constituted an insurrection. In addition to ensuring that Trump remains on the ballot in Colorado, the decision will also end similar cases that have arisen. So far, only two other states, Maine and Illinois, have followed Colorado's path, like the Colorado ruling. Both those decisions were put on hold. So, in short, the Supreme Court decides that states cannot determine whether or not a presidential candidate can appear on a ballot. Only Congress can do that, based on whether or not they've engaged in an insurrection against the government. So that shifts the power to Congress. And in doing so, Donald Trump is now free and clear to appear on the ballots as the Republican nomination for president for 2024. Now, this wasn't, I'll say this first, this wasn't the case that everyone was hoping for. It was just another case that he was involved in. And of course, as mentioned in the article, this wasn't the Supreme Court determining whether or not he did engage in an insurrection. But it is a win for the Trump campaign. And it was unanimous. In other words, all of the members on the court felt like, okay, this should be determined by Congress, not by the state Supreme Court. So that includes the liberal justices as well as the conservative justices, all agreeing that this should be interpreted that way. But man, it does feel like a little bit of a blow.
So a few things here.
Mm-hmm.
The article states that this was a ruling on the previous question,
mm-hmm.
which was, do the states have power to make those decisions?
Mm-hmm.
And if the Constitution says no, which really isn't about the opinion of the justices,
mm-hmm.
it's just them enforcing the law as it's written.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to say that out loud, because it always feels unfair when a Supreme Court that was stacked by that former president rules in his favor. It'll always feel crazy
mm-hmm.
because of the way that he exercised power when he was in office to make sure that he had a Supreme Court that was stacked heavily in favor of not just his party, but him.
Mm-hmm.
So as much of a blow as it is, I think the reason that it was unanimous is because this was a ruling on that question in particular. Do the states have the power, or does Congress? And if the Constitution says it's Congress, then as citizens, even if we don't, even if it's not popular and doesn't make us feel good, we should all lean on,
play by the rules.
Quote unquote, what's right mm-hmm. is what happened here.
Yeah.
The problem, however, is what I just said previously.
Mm-hmm.
The former president stacked the deck in favor of himself.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say out loud, he just did what anyone else would have done. Except as soon as you say that, you know it's not true.
Yeah.
Because when it was time for former President Obama to do something similar, he bowed out in favor of doing what he thought was the right
thing
to do.
Carrying on tradition.
Not just what was in his power to do,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the things that made our former president less popular with a lot of people that voted for him. They really wanted him to flex his muscle.
Be a little bit more aggressive.
In the way that former President Trump did. They wanted him to kind of cross some lines and be so pro us and so pro black that he kind of blurred the lines of what was the right thing to do. And you talk about tradition and precedent. Mm-hmm. He did not want to spit in the face of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he could have appointed another justice, the other side said to him that that wouldn't be right because he wasn't going to be in office when this person took over. So mm-hmm. you should let the next president do it. And they didn't even bring up those same rules.
Yeah.
When it was time for the next person to do it. A lot of what's happening in our country with our former president is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
Legally, morally, and just from a character standpoint, he is a person of such low character that he should not have ever been elected the president of this country. And it's kind of disgraceful to be a citizen in a country that, in a country where he could win an election.
Yeah, he's still considered, strongly considered.
Yeah. Yeah, well, strongly considered isn't the right word. He's going to be the candidate for the other party.
I mean, by the country, the country as a whole is strongly considering him and Joe Biden. That's just where we are.
This is the most helpless and hopeless that I've felt as an adult in this country.
Yeah.
Because of what we're presented with as options. And just, again, the fact that he's even eligible. I think this is the part that makes people most upset. If Ramses Jha was running for president, and his resume and rap sheet read like former President Trump, you'd be disqualified before there were even ever a chance for anybody to vote for you, no matter how popular you were, no matter how many people wanted you in office, you'd just be deemed ineligible.
Unfit, yeah.
And unfit, mm-hmm. and wouldn't even have a chance. And that someone like him has already been the president and is in line to do it again is the most discouraging, disheartening, frustrating, and heartbreaking thing that I've witnessed, and it makes me really, really ashamed isn't the right word, but just really disappointed in my fellow Americans.
No, I know that feeling. You know, there's you know, you're right. There's something to be said about tradition, being a gentleman, understanding and respecting that the office means more to the people of the United States of America than it does to the individual occupying it. And, you know, Obama observing the precedent set before him. I'm not going to appoint another Supreme Court justice because the justice won't be there to interpret laws under my watch. I will wait until the next administration is sworn in. And I'm sure at the time he was optimistic that that would be Hillary Clinton or some Democrat continuing the foundation that he had laid, continued to build on that foundation. And then when Donald Trump comes in and he's like, I'm not concerned with the next administration, Democrat or Republican. I'm concerned with Donald Trump. Now, you could argue that he didn't feel that way, but this is how his behavior. There's people except, that would argue. You can't. I know. Can't. I know. I'm just saying that. But his behavior certainly gives those of us who are kind of watching it enough to say, yeah, he was kind of moving for him. So for him to rush through an appointment, and to kind of spit in the face of tradition in this country, where Obama was, you know, he had the grace and he understood that, okay, this is kind of how this works. There are no rules here, but this is how it works. I'm going to be a gentleman. I recognize that this seat belongs to the American people, et cetera. Donald Trump was like, no, I got to make sure that I'm good. I'm him. I'm going to, you know, keep running this up. Right. And then we get a president after him that, and I don't want to be unkind because, you know, we were talking not too long ago about Stephen A. Smith's interpretation of Joe Biden sitting symbolically with a black family and eating fried chicken, you know. And he, in his account of Joe Biden's administration, highlighted some of the things that Joe Biden did, some of the positive things that he did. They weren't the things that we elected him to do. We wanted police reform. Certainly you and I wanted that, you know what I mean? But we wanted police reform. You know, he was talking about student loans, all this sort of stuff that he was going to be able to like get off. And a lot of that didn't happen. But, you know, Juneteenth and, you know, appointing a black Supreme Court justice and, you know, these things, again, that are symbolic, that's not zero. Certainly, I believe it's a better way to pass the time than being under a Trump administration. Okay. But we have this administration that has been attacked for being very sleepy, for not really getting the message out of what they have accomplished, for not really marketing themselves in a way that offset the smear campaigns that were so prevalent on the right. And the most prevalent of all of them is that he's sleepy Joe Biden. So when you have an administration, the previous administration was very aggressive, like a bully, just a rude bully and arrogant. Well, get it done. Get out of my face. I'm not reading that. Like this type of energy. What I don't care about what they do before. I'm here now and this is how it's going to go. Not saying that that's right. But knowing on the heels of that administration that the rules have changed, to then have someone who could be deemed a sleepy old man in the office who wants to revert us back to tradition That would be all well and good if Donald Trump still wasn't looming on the horizon and we really sincerely felt like we could go back to it and that it would be fine. But no, if anything, we've seen how his messaging since then has fortified his supporters. You're going to charge me with 91, may as well charge me with 100. I'm not going to lose one vote. Okay, Joe Biden, you probably need to stack that court. You probably need to break some rules. You probably need to, you know what I'm saying? Because the state of play has changed.
Or get out of the way.
And so when we look at the Supreme Court's interpretation of whether or not Joe Biden can appear on the ballot, sure. Former President Trump could appear on the ballot. Thank you for that. Sure. They're interpreting this one facet and they're using one rule to do so. Congress should be the decider of this, not the states. That's it. Right. But something like that working in Donald Trump's favor, again, that's not nothing. That's not what everyone had kind of hung their hat on. People were like, ah, we got him. He's not going to appear on the ballots. And then everyone went because he could be a write-in candidate. So, of course, this is just kind of performative, you know, to be
symbolic.
There you go. But just to know that it almost feels like when it comes to Donald Trump, people are looking for technicalities, not the sincere moral, objective truth and understanding how those implications affect this country, this country's future, this country's past, you know. And so when you have these minds, these brilliant legal minds, Clarence Thomas is not a stupid man. I cannot say that any more than I could say.
Decent man, but I.
There you go.
You know, we can't accuse.
And you could say the same thing about all the villains in history, from Hitler to everything. You can't call them stupid people because they're not that. We would not call them decent folks. Sure, I'll give you that, but they're not stupid, right? So these people who maybe they are immoral, not unintelligent, but maybe they're immoral. Maybe they're playing by a different set of rules, or they believe a different set of rules exists, you know, whatever. This is just our assessment. These folks, when you stack enough of them, we're able to find these technicalities and interpret them and then share them. And you know what? You're right. That technicality does excuse this thing. And so we cannot rule on that, right? Right is right. And that's a fair play, because it's within the rules. So I'm not arguing that. But you understand that when you have more of those brilliant minds that are looking for the technicalities, you end up getting off. This guy ends up getting off on more technicalities. And so far, there has not been anything that he has gotten away with, in my recollection in this moment, that has been based on anything other than a technicality.
Well, the one of the bigger problems is it would have to be a technicality, because he's already shown that there is no. You were talking about things being objectively wrong and objectively immoral.
Yeah, yeah.
You've shown that that doesn't matter. He
right.
said out loud
exactly,
and shown. I mean, the grab him by the you know what video became public before he was elected,
yeah.
And he was still elected. He said himself that he could pull out a gun and unalive someone.
And people cheered when he said it.
And he wouldn't lose a single vote. Mm-hmm. We've observed this long enough to know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's always going to be some technicality.
And there's always going to be some people looking for the technicality for him now.
You know, looking for that for him, but it's not even necessary. Even if all of these states that want to remove him from the ballot had done so, they'd find a way for that to not matter.
Yeah.
So, you know, those that oppose him have to understand, like you said about our current president, that the rules have changed, and something that's really discouraging. And I hate echoing this on our platform, is recently you've probably seen in the news that our current president wants to work on immigration reform with former President Trump. Like, you either think that's a good idea, which tells me a lot about where your head is, or that's political strategy, which tells me a lot about where your head is. Either of those things put you in a position as someone I find it very, very hard to support moving forward, even as we've tried to encourage people to do so in light of what we know the other side looks like. If you guys share anything in the way of thinking, and what are we doing here? And what are we left with here with regards to the choices that we have?
Yeah.
No, you know that man's history. You're going to reach out to him to work on something with regards to immigration and the borders and reforming that? Like, where are we now as a country, man? It's a longer conversation than we probably have time to have now, but it's getting real scary around here, man.
Well, you're not wrong. And as always, now is the time we open the floor to you to share your thoughts with us. So if you have anything to share, please hit us up. You can use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. You can hit me at Ramses Jha.
I am Q Ward on the social media platforms that I still reside at.
And we can keep the conversation going. But yeah, for now, we're still watching the other 91 charges and seeing what comes of those. So until we got something more.
Peace.
This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Jha, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.